Malachi chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Appreciate everybody bearing with me while I was gone. We left on Wednesday and come back late Saturday, and we made it back in time for Brother Harold's birthday party there that was over in the fellowship hall. And got to wish him happy. What were you, 70, brother? What was that? But we love Brother Harold and appreciated him, but got some great preaching down there. And a lot of it really spoke to me as a pastor. And sometimes as a pastor, you need to just sit back and enjoy preaching, amen? And it's really good. But one of them, they were talking about the faithfulness in the church today. And I really seen it down at Dr. Tabb's. Last time I was down there about 10 years ago, it was packed out. You couldn't get a seat. You had to get there early. You had to worry about getting a seat there. And this time it was just a scattered few. And you can tell Dr. Tabb was really upset about it and really discouraged, but his church really didn't support the meeting. And pretty much it was just us preachers from out of town that were there. But that's where the church is today, folks. That's where we're at. Church is not a priority anymore. Amen. And when you have revivals or you have camp meetings or whatever it may be at church, the people just don't support it. Now, we do a pretty good job here. We've got a good crowd this morning, and we usually have a good crowd during revival, and I appreciate our church getting behind it. But I'm telling you, a lot of churches are going down. They're going down. One of the brothers brought out a great point, and he was talking about the average sheepfold. And he said he ran a church of about 70 people, great preacher in Alabama. And he said, I only run 70. And he said, I really get discouraged about it because I only got 70 people. And he said, but a preacher showed me this, and I'm going to share it with you. He said, do you know the average fold of sheep in the Bible was 200 or less? He said, when you got over 200... you couldn't adequately shepherd the sheep. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, because I've always thought, Lord, why can't we get over we can't get over that 200 hump at our church, right? We'll get up around 160, 170, then we'll drop down 140, 150, and just kind of stays in that area. And the Lord really revealed that to me, that, hey, if you want to really pastor a church and pastor it the way I want you to pastor it, you got to stay under 200, amen? Now, praise the Lord, I hope we grow, and I'm not going to be upset if we don't, but hey, I'm happy with our flock. Amen, Brother Lynn. Happy with the flock we got. All right, Malachi 2, 9 and 10. If you would, please stand in honor of God's word. If you're able, if you're not, we understand. We're continuing on with the judgment of God. We started with inwardly, with us as a church, and now we're moving outwardly and looking at other churches. We're going to finish that up today Next week, we hit the ground running. Ezekiel, Isaiah, and it's going to be point after point after point about the judgment of God. So you're going to have to bear with me next week, but it's going to go quick, but it's going to be good. I think you're going to enjoy it. Malachi 2:9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. And I thank you for these people. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, that are hurting, that couldn't be here. You might touch their bodies, be with them. Lord, I just pray, God, you help me to be the best pastor I can be at Valley View Baptist Church. Just help mold me and make me. Just help me to make the right decisions, Lord. Lord, we just pray today that you bind the hands of demonic forces. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on our service. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Help everybody to be attentive just for the next 25 minutes or so. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Speaking of that, in that prayer before I get started, I kind of leaned over to Dad after about the second night, and I said, Dad, does it kind of make you thankful for your pastor? And he kind of chuckled, because I'm not exaggerating. You can ask Dad about this, but I don't think there was one preacher that preached less than an hour and 15 minutes each. And Dad and I didn't get back to the motel to our time to about 12:15 some nights. Our time, they're on Central Time, so it's about 11:15 their time. But I got to tell you, that's why, and I have nothing against people that preach long. And don't get nervous, because Dr. Tab's about 40 to 45 minutes when he preaches. I've heard him many times. But guys, I got to tell you, when you chase rabbits like that, you know, get to the meat of your message, and there were some good messages. But when you keep talking and keep talking, you can't keep the people's attention. And I'm a pastor, and I got to tell you, after about 50 minutes, I was struggling. I was struggling. I mean, you know, because, when you got some good meaty messages, stop when the meat's done. You know what I'm saying? When the meat's done, stop. And that's what I try to do around here. I try to go no longer than 25 minutes, because I really believe I can pack it in and that you'll listen for 25 minutes. All right? But when I see Brother Terry nodding off, I know it's time to quit. Amen. I'm just kidding. He doesn't nod off. He doesn't nod off. Miss Vicky nods off. But listen, we're going to finish the judgment of God this morning. But Malachi is dealing a lot with the religious crowd. And we got a big religious crowd today, don't we? Amen. And listen, we look at our moral structure in the church today, and I want to tell you, it's pitiful. It's pathetic. And a great sign that God's judgment's about to fall is when the church has failed to do what God's called us to do. And we've dropped the ball. You realize that the church was called to take care of people. But now we got the welfare system, amen? The church was called to educate. You know, we were called to educate. But today we turn that over to the government as well. The government is doing a lot of the jobs that the church used to do and that God called us to do. Amen? And that's why we're in the pitiful shape we're in today. But listen, when the church is no longer a light, no longer salt in the earth, you can be sure that the structure of society is going to fall. It's going to crumble around us. Listen, the church today is no longer salt. We're not salt. The church looks just like the world. The church acts like the world. Listen, there are people that could be here this morning that are not sick, but they found something better to do in the world.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And the church, and don't think that the world doesn't see them out, doesn't see their car sitting at home,
yes,
doesn't see them come out and get their paper out of the yard with their shorts on, go back in, right? Don't think the world's not taking notice that, hey, that's a member of Valley View Baptist Church. They should be in their place this morning.
Yes.
Don't think they're not taking note.
Yes.
So let's talk about this for a few minutes. Notice in Malachi 2:9 it says, therefore have I made you contemptible and base before all the people. People lose respect for the church of God. They have, and it's our fault, folks. It's our fault that people have lost respect for the house of God today. That word contemptible means despicable or deplorable. That word base means the bottom. That means the bottom of the barrel. That means the grunge on the barrel. The Bible says that what is what the church has become. We've become despicable. And listen, it's not because we're standing on the truth. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Many people say, well, the reason people despise us is because we're so much like Christ. No, the reason the world despises us is because, like it says there, they were partial in the law. That means we pick and choose the Bible we're going to follow, and then we try to push that on other people and say, you need to be just like me or you're not right with God. And they see the hypocrisy in our lives in the church, and that is why they hate us. That's why they despise us. It's because we say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then they look at what the church is doing, they go, what's the difference?
Yes.
What's the difference? Amen. What is the difference? Listen, when the people see the church being as immoral as they are, they lose all respect for the things of God. They do. I mean, listen, why is it, and this would have never happened 40, 50, 60 years ago, if you don't believe me, ask some of these old timers. But why is it that people can change our sign out there and put curse words on it and not think twice about it? Think it's funny. Right? You never heard about things like that 40, 50 years ago. Why? Because they look down on the church now. They see the hypocrisy. I mean, why is it somebody broke our chain out there with bolt cutters and come in and broke in our building out back and was looking for something to steal? Why? Because they have no respect for the things of God. No respect for the things of God. I mean, why is it that people come and do donuts in our parking lot? Right? Why is it people come over here that we've asked them not to and ride their horses all over a place? We say, please don't do that. Don't deface our property. And they do it anyway. You know why? Because they see the hypocrisy in the local church and they have no respect for it. Amen. And that's our fault. Y'all are getting quiet on me now. Come on. Let's liven up a little bit. Hey, I might get in that hour 15 minute mode if y'all don't watch it. Amen. Come on now. All right? Genesis 19:14. We find out about Lot, and it says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Here's Lot, and listen, he's trying to tell them the truth. He said, the Lord's about to bring fire and brimstone down. Please, let's get out of here. And they laughed. They're laughing, Brother Bruce. They're laughing. You know why? Because Lot's walk didn't match his talk. Right? Listen, folks, the judgment of God is coming on this land and people will not listen to us. They'll throw down our gospel tracts, they'll laugh because our walk doesn't match our talk. Amen? We find in 2 Chronicles 38, they were told to go out and they were told to go from country to country. It says from Manasseh to Zebulun. And it says they were to pass out posts from city to city saying, hey, you need to get right. But it says, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Here are the religious leaders passed out stuff saying, hey, putting up posts saying, hey, the Lord told us he's going to come after us. And they're looking at their lives and they're sniffing. They're going like, aren't you the one that was with that harlot last week? And you're right. Aren't you the one that does this and does that? All right. Listen, folks, God help us when we get to that point that the world thinks we're a bunch of hypocrites. Amen.
Yes,
it's sad. Amen.
Yes.
Jeremiah 5:12 says, they have bellied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets shall become winds, and the word is not in them, thus shall it be done unto them. I mean, another reason that the church is scorned today is because you have a lot of ministers misrepresenting the Lord. I mean, it's not just the people, it's the ministers. The ministers are misrepresenting the Lord. They're not speaking his word, they're a bunch of hot air. I mean, we had some good preaching when we went down there. But that legalist I told you about, he was back this year. He was back. And he hit the facial hair again. Again, about how sinful facial hair was. Not only that, you know, I was going around taking pictures of for Dr. Tad, getting some website down. And he got talking about cell phones and taking pictures. That was a sin. Yeah, having an iPad was a sin. You see what I'm talking about? Listen, folks, preaching like that is nothing but hot air. People don't want to hear that garbage. They want to hear Scripture. They want to hear truth. Amen. They want to hear some Scripture. Hey, it backs it up. Amen. But we don't have that anymore today. We have preachers full of hot air, and that's why the judgment of God's coming. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. The reason we have scoffers, the reason we have so many atheists today is because they see the church and it doesn't look real. It doesn't look real. It's a joke to them. It's a joke. I mean, we have pastors that are caught in adulterous affairs, pastors that are caught in pornography. All these pastors, I mean, listen, folks, even in our local area, pastors that are running around on their wives, up in the pulpit for 2 years. One that I know about was having an adulterous affair for 2 years and up in the pulpit every Sunday. Doing articles in the paper about how many are baptized and how many are being saved. And the whole time he's in an affair. Listen, folks, you wonder why the world hates the church. The world hates the church. Listen, secondly, there's division and discord in the local church. Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our Father? Listen, when the Word of God is ignored, the local church is going to fall to pieces. It's going to fall to pieces. You're going to have fighting, discord, and confusion in the local church. Amen? I want you to think about it. How many church splits have we heard of in just our area in the past 10 years? Right? Think about it. I mean, how many pastors have been run off from churches in just our area in the past 10 years? I mean, how many churches do you know about right now that have fighting and turmoil and arguing just in our area in the past 10 years? You know why? It's because the Word has been abandoned. We're no longer solving our differences and our difficulties through the Word of God. We're allowing our flesh and our carnality to take place and take part in that. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I mean, when God is not feared and His Word is not followed, carnality is the result. 1 Corinthians 1:11, it says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Paul went into the Corinthian church. He said, y'all are fighting. Y'all are fussing. Y'all are carnal. He just got all over them for being carnal. That's why I don't understand when you see churches named Corinthian Baptist. Why would you want to name your church Corinthian Baptist? They were the most carnal, worldly Christians in the world. Carnal and worldly, contentious. 2 Corinthians 12:20 says, for lest I fear when I come, I shall not find you as I would, and that I shall be found unto you as you would not, lest there be debate, endings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whispering, swelling, and tumults. What would Paul find in our church today? He lists all these. I mean, the first one says debate. That means they argue about everything. The second one says endings. That means you're jealous over others in the church who have positions and you don't.
Yes,
don't we see that today? Well, hey, why did the pastor give them that? Why did the pastor ask them to do that? Why did they get that position? Why did they get this? Why? Envy? Wrath? It says outright anger against brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, you see people almost coming to fisticuffs in the church nowadays because of wrath. Strife. Strife. I mean, that means striving with each other about minute and unimportant issues. What color the carpet's going to be? Right? What paint's going to be on the wall? Who did that and didn't tell me? Right? Listen, if somebody wants to work in this church, I praise the Lord if I show up and something's built. Amen, Brother Lee? Praise God. Brother Lee didn't ask to put those gates up out there. I didn't come in and go, well, you didn't run that past me. We didn't vote on it. No, praise the Lord. Amen. Hope we come in here and have a 1,700 square foot activity building one day. Amen. Praise God. You're not going to hear me complain. Amen. But people fight about that because they won't feel like they're in control. I remember my pastor, when I was serving under him, he had cancer surgery. He's in the hospital, and one of the trustees of the church he's at called him up at the hospital the day after surgery, after he'd had colon cancer surgery, and is wearing him out on the phone because the pastor had somebody cut a dead tree down out back without getting their permission first. How pitiful is that, amen? How pitiful is that? But that's what we're dealing with today. Backbiting. I mean, talking about how people back. I mean, you smile to their face. And then you get out and say, hey, did you hear what she did? Did you hear what he did? Can't believe he did that. Can't believe. I mean, listen, folks, backbiting in all the churches shouldn't be there. Whisperings, gossiping about others in the church. Swelling, letting things get blown all out of proportion. Listen, people let the littlest things in the church upset them and run them off to another church. The smallest thing. Listen, I'm not joking with you folks. I've had people in my office that are no longer in this church anymore, and they left the church because somebody sat in their seat in the church. Sat in their seat. They come to my office. Well, I'm upset, Brother Jeff. Why is that? Well, I come in, this guy was in my seat, and I asked him to move, and he got smart with me. Really? I had one family leave the church because I asked their kids not to be playing video games during church. Well, that's the only way I can get them here. We're just going to have to go somewhere else. That's the mentality today, folks. Listen, folks, it ought not be in the church, amen? James 3:16 says, For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Listen, folks, if churches are fighting and feuding, if you were a lost person, would you go to church? I mean, most saved people don't want to go to some churches because of all the feuding and fighting, right? So if you're lost, why don't you come visit a church? Listen, you should not belong to a church where you don't feel comfortable inviting your lost neighbor, your lost friends to church because you're worried that somebody might act wrong. Amen? That's a sad situation. Now listen, thirdly, you're left with a bunch of prideful, intellectual pundits in the pulpit who are cut off from the power of God. And that's what we have today, Malachi 2:12. It says, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob. The Bible says that he will cut them off. And why does he cut them off? Because they've abandoned the word of God. They've abandoned the commandment of God. I mean, listen, you go into most Bible colleges today, and they're taught the Greek, they're taught the Hebrew, they're taught manuscript evidence, and they steal their Bible from them and say, there is no perfect Bible. Hey, thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Amen. But they have this, they take their Bible from them. They steal it. They say, you can't trust this book. There's many different versions. Listen, I had a man come to our church. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I re-respected him. Preacher, I re-respected him a lot. But he'll never be back because he sat in my office and he tried to argue with me, tell me that the King James Bible was just a translation. It is not just a translation, folks. It's the perfect, inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of the living God.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Prideful. Intellectuals. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Listen, just because someone says they're called to preach and have a church doesn't mean they're not seducers. There are many pastors in this area. They're seducing the people. They're lying to the people. They're saying, turn to this. Well, a better word should be. Well, the correct translation should be. Well, they mistranslated this here, it should say, and they're seducing the people. They're teaching the people, you can't trust the words of the living God. Amen. That's what they're doing. Acts 20:29 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Over and over in Scripture. I don't know why today people think, well, my pastor can't be a wolf. My pastor can't teach wrong. Listen, folks. A pastor can be saved, born again, and still led by this flesh. And not teach correctly, and not teach truth out of the pulpits. 2 Corinthians 11:13, we find in no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I mean, listen, there are those that step behind pulpits that seem to be ministers of the Lord, but they're not. Oh, they got a good game. They got a good talk. They may have a good delivery. They may be energetic. They may be funny. They may be big comedians and just keep everybody in the pew happy and entertained. But listen, we're not called to entertain. Amen? We're called to preach the whole counsel of God. Colossians 2:18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward and of voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. There are a lot of preachers today that are puffed up in their fleshly minds. They think they know it all. They think they've learned it all. You cannot talk to them about anything because they have arrived, right? Listen, that's the wrong attitude to have in the church of God. And that's why our churches are failing. Listen, the church teaches God is love and fails to tell them the truth about the wrath of God. Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. You say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, where is the God of judgment? Listen, preachers today are stepping away from this book, and they're conforming to everything, and they're conforming to political correctness. They're teaching today, oh, it's okay, God's love. You just come how you are. You can be a preacher, you can be a teacher, you can be anything in this church, you can hold on to your sin, right? Now they're ordaining not only female ministers, but they're ordaining homosexual female ministers. And saying, it's okay, God's love. God, now his judgment hasn't fell, and because his judgment has not fallen yet, they think it must be okay. Listen, you can't live your life thinking, well, I can do anything I want to, and because God's judgment hasn't fallen yet, it's not going to fall. Because it will fall. Amen? It will. Ephesians 5:6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Colossians 3:6 says, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Listen, does God love you? Yes. Did Jesus die on the cross for you? Yes. Is He wanting you to go to heaven? Yes. He's done everything to keep you from hell. But listen, many people want to hold on to their sin. They want to hold on to that lifestyle. They want to hold on to that alcohol. They want to hold on to that pornography. And they want to say, I'm okay, I'll get there my way. No, you will only get there through Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. Because He says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way you'll get there. I mean, we're living in a time when preachers are calling evil good and good evil from the pulpits. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." But that's what we got today. And the reason being is because there's such a backlash. I mean, they call you all these things. They call you all these hateful names and everything. And preachers don't like to be criticized, right? Listen, folks, criticize me all you want to. I'm going to stand firm on this book. I don't care about public humiliation. People saying, "Oh, he's behind the times." Listen, I'm with the Bible, and the Bible's never behind the times. Amen.
Yes, amen, sir.
Never behind the times.
Yes, God help.
And lastly, Brother Daniel, if you can get a song ready, brother, says there's still a remnant that stands for the Lord, and God will remember that. Listen, even in all the times we're going through in America, and we're going to get into the judgment of God as far as America is concerned next week, get into it in great detail. But there's always been a remnant, always a few people that would stand for the Lord. Malachi 3:16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Listen, even at the height of the moral decay of Israel, even when they were at the height of moral decay, and you had the priests running around with harlots, you had sodomy going on, you had all these things going on, even at the height of it, there were still a few people that said, "We're not departing from the commandments of God." You might be here this morning and say, "Brother Jeff, I have no clue what you're talking about." Well, listen, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new." You know, I read it and agree with everything the Bible said. I tried to pick and choose what the Bible said about what I believe, and I said, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh yeah, hey, you're a hoagie-phogie. Hey, you need to get in the 2000s, right? Teenager, that's their attitude, right? In their 20s in college. But you know, when I got born again, when I got saved, the blinders come off.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit came in. The Bible said you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's why, as a lost person, that's why you can't win the battle. It's because you have to have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And guess what happened when I sinned after I was saved? A knock on my heart's door. A conviction took place. That's wrong, Jeff. Don't do that, Jeff. Right? And that's what's missing today. But listen, folks, it's got to start with the church. They have to see us living what we preach. Acting like we believe what this book says. Amen? Living by this book, because if they don't see you living by this book, they'll never want what we have. Amen? Don't be hypocrites. Walk the walk, talk the talk. Amen? For Jesus Christ, because the judgment of God is coming, and you know it's coming, and you don't want people laughing and mocking you saying, "I'm not listening because of the life you live." Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able.